Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and I'm joined once again by my friend Randy Dumoulin. Randy, welcome back.
Patrick, how you doing?
Good, man. Good, good. So recently we just did an episode talking about kind of giving grades on the Warriors, their team, coach, front office, all that stuff. But the real interesting stuff about the season is what needs to happen for the Warriors. Who comes, who goes, where do you see this team going? So I want to ask you first and foremost, because this is a question that has been on my mind the last few days, is what needs to happen for the Warriors and specifically Draymond and Jordan Poole to get past the punch thing, right? Because everyone downplayed it during the season, and understandably so, because that's what you're supposed to do as a team, but we all knew. And then they admitted afterwards, Steve Kerr, Draymond talked about how big of a deal that was.
What I hope is not the case is that one of them has to get moved, right? I mean, you obviously appreciate both of them as players. They had up and down years. You get frustrated with them for different reasons, but we've seen them win a title together. So it's like, of course you want to try and keep both around, but it's a pretty eventful offseason, right? Draymond has a player option. Poole's extension is kicking in. And so that big money, right? Like, yeah. And I don't know if it's just like a change in personnel, you know, more vets or just more, you know, maybe more just adults in the room type thing. Like that could be helpful. I think that, I mean, what you see on Twitter is like, you know, move one of them, right? And then at that point, it's like, you know, you're ushering in, I guess you could say a new chapter, right? I mean, when was the last time the Warriors didn't have Steph, Clay, or Draymond, you know, in the starting lineup or just on the top of the roster, right? Like, and even with Poole, you know, with his contract, you know, you're getting back something, right? You know, whether that's a wing, whether it's a big man, another guard, and, you know, someone who could create or defend. Personally, you want to keep both, right? You try and extend Draymond, you keep him a Warrior for the rest of his career. And you hope that whether it's a scheme thing, whether it's like maybe you just don't play him on the court at the same time, like maybe.
I'll be honest, and this is something that just hit me like the last couple of days. I think the only way the Warriors get past this is if one of them is gone.
Yeah.
And obviously it seems like Draymond is going to stay, that they'll figure something out. Anything can happen. We don't know. But all signs, Steph wants Draymond around.
Right.
And like, here's the thing, right? Like, if you look at this Warriors roster, their starting five, it's going to be the same dudes that are going to be on the roster. Who knows if anyone takes a back seat, comes off the bench. It's going to be the same dudes. And then you have Poole, Payton, Kuminga,
Moody
right. And then Rollins, I guess, unless you get rid of him. But he's signed for like 3 years. And then Patrick Baldwin Jr. So looking at the guys who actually played this year, you have to fill in this team with like veterans. But to me, it's like if those main guys are still here, you're rolling out the same exact dudes minus DiVincenzo. Right. And is that a winning combination? Right. Like I just don't see those guys hitting the court next year and everything being the same right. In terms of roster and then being fine. You know what I mean? I just can't see it. And it'd be great if they could get past it, but just, you know, like knowing people and whatever, it's Poole has never spoken on this Draymond stuff because he isn't that kind of guy. He's very standoffish when it's a serious question and when he's being kind of probed. We don't know. And then Draymond keeps talking about it. So yeah. I'll be honest, like if I'm Poole, I'm like, I don't want to be around this, you know, right. Like this stink of being embarrassed by getting smacked in the face. I think he'd be fine leaving. He has a title. He has a contract. And especially with Clay being there, so you get away from Draymond, like his shadow.
Right.
And then you get away from Clay and him blocking you from starting. And ideally, he would go to a team where he could legitimately start on a regular basis. So if I'm Jordan Poole, and especially like hearing all the chatter from national media and then the fan base, I'm good with moving on if that is on the table. I can see them trying, because if Steph wants to keep Poole, I can see them trying to make it work. But I just think like Poole's ceiling for all this. His growth is hitting a ceiling because of these impediments, which is, you know, this Draymond thing hanging over his head, and then Clay basically blocking his potential to start on the regular. I think one of them has to go, and I think it'd be Poole. I don't know what the trade would be. That opens up a whole nother can of worms, right? And then you'll get like Warriors fans saying, "Oh, let's trade him for Wemby." So, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. I don't, and I'd be okay with that, to be honest. Like I've been critical of Poole. I think he can be good, but I think next year is the year that he shows, okay, this is who I am. And it's either who he has been or he makes a leap. And I don't know if he's going to make a leap. We saw flashes of him making better decisions this season. Right. Like there were a couple games where it was like, oh, he had like, you know, double digit assists and he could be that guy. But everything else, I just don't know. I just don't know. Right. So if he has to be the one to get moved, I 100% would be on board with that as long as it's like a good trade. And it would kill me though, too, if you have to lose Kuminga.
Man, it's a weird, I don't want them to draft anyone. I think they should trade their pick. Like I know that, you know, they won a title last year, and you know, they have all these rookies, guys who are still rookies, honestly. Like, I mean, is this coming year not basically another rookie year for Patrick Baldwin or for Ryan Rollins? Like they didn't see the court. Like they still have things to learn. Still have a lot of, I mean, they just haven't played, right? Like, I don't know what exactly you add to this roster by taking another rookie or another, you know, young, more inexperienced guy at they have the 19th pick. I'm not a genius. I just think, you know, from watching the team this whole past year, like I think you would want someone older, not younger, right? Like you already have a lot of young guys hopefully guys who can, again, show promise and grow, but just don't know if we need one more, right? Like,
yeah, I think they'll trade the pick. I mean, that's what I would do. Or if you're going to use the pick, then you have to get rid of some of the young dudes on your team, plain and simple, right? Like, and you know, people are projecting that the Warriors should take a center, but it's like, is a center going to play for this team? We've seen what happens when a center is. I mean, if they had Wembanyama, they'd bring him off the bench. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, this is
rookie centers just like 95% of the time, like just aren't really ready in the first year, right? Like, you know, obviously you have Wembanyama coming in, and you know who knows what he'll be, but just historically, like it's hard to draft a big man who's going to contribute on a winning team, right? You know. So yeah, if they could move it, I mean, I don't know if we're throwing names out there, but like even a guy like Daniel Gafford, like Wendell Carter, some other centers, dude, like people who've been around the league and you know how to rebound and set screens. Like I don't know how many illegal screens they called each year. I don't know if it's a fundamentals thing. Like I don't know if it's just they've always set illegal screens and sometimes they call them, sometimes they don't. But yeah, I think that more experience, specifically in the front court, you know, would really help fill out the roster.
Yeah.
At guard, you know, you have a guy in Moody, right, who clearly took a leap during the playoffs, and that should translate to, you know, hopefully 15, 20 minutes a night by the next season. But yeah, at front court, it's like, well, you have Looney, you have Patrick Baldwin, Draymond, right, if he sticks around. And yeah, after that, it's I think that's where you need the vets.
I definitely think they need vets. I mean, what do you think happens to Kuminga? What would you do if you're him or if you're the Warriors? Because again, going back to the thing about rolling out the same dudes, it's like Poole is blocked by Clay, and Kuminga is blocked both by Looney, like small ball center stuff, so not so much Looney, but like mostly Draymond and Andrew Wiggins, right? When he got drafted, I was like, oh, he's going to be the best player in that Minnesota trade, and I think he'll have a better career than Andrew Wiggins. But clearly we've seen now that Wiggins proved himself last year in the playoffs, and he's critical, especially because he's a vet, that he's going to get those minutes. he did over Kuminga in the playoffs, even with a busted rib. You know, if they sign Draymond to say they sign him to like lesser money, but, you know, over a longer period of time, right? Less per year.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would want to know if I'm Kuminga, if Draymond is planning on starting into the, like those last couple of years of the contract, however long it is, if it's 3 years, is he going to start in the second year of that contract and the third? Does he expect that? Who knows? I mean, if you're Kuminga, you have to push him, but I just don't know. I just don't know. Because again, if you roll out the same dudes, you're going to get the same dynamic, right? And with Peyton and with Wiggins on the team, yes, Kuminga should be able to rise up and prove himself, especially past Peyton. But if he doesn't get the chance from Kerr, then it's, I mean, I speak from a guy who did podcast episodes for every game. I don't want to watch this team again the same season next year. I don't want Groundhog Day over and over again next year. So when I look at this roster and it's like, you know, you're talking about like, you know, bringing Poole and Draymond back to some kumbaya moment, then I'm like, but then you're going to get the same exact dynamic unless Draymond changes or Clay changes, or they take a, you know, they themselves take a step back, because Wiggins is who he is and he's fine. He's off to the side kind of doing his thing. Looney, Peyton, they are who they are. Steph is always going to be who he is. But like, you know what I mean? Because those are the two guys on the Warriors who have shown the most promise as young players, but they're kind of right there. They're just blocked off. Do you move Kuminga or do you, you know, guarantee him some minutes?
I think that his value is at a point right now where it's like, you know, everyone has seen kind of the highlight reels and he's had some highlight plays and stuff. But if you're the Warriors, like letting him play, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night to start the regular season, you know, that first like month, he's still only what, 21, right? He's super young, but
he's 20.
20, yeah. What you don't want, of course, is to get to a point where he's like 24 and he still hasn't sniffed the starting lineup, right? He's still just this weird, like, are you a bench, you know, are you on the bench or not? And if they find a better fit, sure, but I think that he still has some parts of his game that could help the team. Like, they couldn't play, you know, they couldn't win on the road because they couldn't play defense, they couldn't rebound. Like, yeah, there are things that he needs to improve, but I don't know if he's worth more as, you know, trade sweetener or some, you know, as a means of getting someone else or a vet or someone more experienced, or just kind of waiting and see, like, cause you know, it's like he can do all the athletic things that you need as a basketball player. It's just like the winning thing, right? The winning habits, winning, you know, defense, discipline, all that stuff. I think out of him and Poole, he's probably the more likely to be moved. Kuminga is, but you know, we'll see. I hope they can keep them both. Yeah, but you know what you're saying is also true, right? Like, how much different an outcome can you expect if you really just come back with the same group of guys, right?
I'll disagree. I think Kuminga showed a lot this year. I mean, when he played a lot, when he's playing 25, 30 minutes, he was impressive, you know? Like, he was really, really good. And ever since November, I feel like he's been a solid piece. Like, they haven't lost games because of Kuminga. It wasn't like, oh, Kuminga did this or Kuminga did that. I would rather keep him than Poole personally, just because, I mean, I think people want Kuminga more than
Poole.
But I think he just has, again, I've been high on that guy since he dunked on Poole in the G League. I'll be really, really annoyed if they end up trading him, but I get it, because like, if you want like a, I don't know, an OG Anunoby or a Siakam, that's the guy that they're going to zero in on most likely. But I think obviously the plan from this past season blew up with that terrible start. I think the plan was to play the kids as much as possible to get them up to speed. But I think with Kuminga, it's like, man, if this franchise punts on the most athletic player the team has ever had, I'll be really, really bothered by that, because legit, he's the most athletic player I've seen on this team ever. Sprewell, Jason Richardson didn't hold a candle to Kuminga's athleticism, in my opinion. I would understand it, but I would be really, really bummed. And I'd be bummed that, like, wow, we should have just signed Gary Payton the second, because he's going to cost like a chance to see if Wiseman was any good.
Right.
And also Jonathan Kuminga, right? Because he was traded for one and he took minutes from the other. So I'm just not too sure if that is the best direction to go in. I just don't see this team coming back. What do you think Klay Thompson needs to do? Do you think he has a come to Jesus moment after that terrible? I'm saying that's the worst game of his life.
Yeah,
no, that game six against the Lakers. And
what a lot of people want to try and see is if he comes off the bench, like how much more effective he can be, if he's sort of picking his spots more, he's not heat checking as much, maybe he has less of a defensive load. But it's just with the new like CBA and everything, it's like you have all these guys who are on huge, veteran max contracts who just disappointed like hell in the playoffs. And so it's like, how much value can you get for those? If you're going to ask one of them to move to the bench, like what does that look like on the cap sheet? And just like, damn, you're paying him $40 million to get 22 minutes a night or so. I don't know. But like,
yeah,
I don't know if it's like a changing his game or just like having a little more control over it. Cause he's always been the first guy to just shoot, right? Like, I mean, there are no bad shots to Klay. And if they like turn him into more of a post-up guy, turn him into just like, try and make him purely a catch and shoot guy. Cause this past year he was doing a little more dribbling. He's not sure of how much he's getting to the rim. Could he regress? Was it just a bad, did he run out of legs? Does he have one or two or three more runs in him?
Do you still trust Klay and Draymond?
Yeah. I mean, the last playoff series was really bad. And they have to take some of the blame for that, as the guys who were getting the most minutes with Steph and Wiggins and Looney. But I don't think you punt on a core or punt on two or three significant pieces, right? After you lose one playoff series or one second round series. Like they would have to suck a little more for me to just start having a different conversation. Cause I mean they just won last year, right? And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think that depending on how they deal with the young kids and just the roster construction, I think that Steph, Klay, and Draymond on the court can do it again. I don't know how many more times, but I think that they have what it takes to do it still.
Klay has, I think, one more year at like $43 million.
Yeah.
And right, the whole extension thing that was floated before the playoffs, talking about him wanting a max. What do you think he's worth? Right? Like what would you want him to come in at? Because a lot of times it's like, right? I mean, that's how these dynasties kind of die, right? Because they're so good and it's such a core that they just want all the money. But then the cheap guys are rookies and fringe vets.
Yeah.
Right. So like it worked last year. I mean, when they won the title, didn't work this past year, of course. Do you see him coming in a certain number?
I think he's definitely worth more to the Warriors than to another team. Like if he had went to a different team, you could see him getting like 40, 45 over 3 years. Like, I don't know what that comes out to, 15-ish, about 15, 20. Like,
really?
I could see the Warriors paying him like 25 just because he's Klay and just because he's, he's been a Warrior and, he wants one last big contract. But so, yeah, that's where I would put it is like if he's re-signing with the Warriors, it's going to be, sort of like a respectful overpay, right? Where it's like, yes, you've done so much. Like, yeah, sure. Right. Add some zeros. Like,
right.
But if he's on a different team, yeah, I think 15, 18. 18-ish a year.
Yeah, that'd be a massive pay cut. I mean, I can see other teams not being that interested in him, but I could also see some teams just wanting that shooting. Mm-hmm. It would just have to be the right mix and the right role because he wouldn't be this featured player. He wouldn't be all of a sudden against his own team, Reggie Miller time, Also with Draymond, it sounds like they're going to try to come to some compromise or whatever, which is great. I mean, fact of the matter is when Steve Kerr said, we don't win a championship without Draymond. I mean, it's obvious, right? Yeah. They also didn't win one this past year with Draymond, but you got to ride it out as long as you can. But I just think it just has to be reasonable, plain and simple, right? Mm-hmm. Like those guys did not perform the way Steph did.
The West isn't getting any more spacious, right? I mean, you have Wemby coming in, you have Chet joining OKC after missing his rookie year. It's just like, how many teams are getting better and how many are getting worse, right? The Kings could get better. The Nuggets are already incredible. Right? Like, maybe you see the Clippers fall a little bit. I can't pick like a bad team. You know, I mean, OKC has Shai, who got first team All-NBA. Like, they're probably 2 or 3 years away from consistent playoff runs. And then you look east and it's just like, you could finish higher in those days.
The fact that the Spurs got the first pick, my buddy Aaron was like, before, like several hours before the lottery, he was like, I hope it's not the Spurs. and then when I realized the lottery had already happened, I went to this group text and I saw Spurs. And I was like, oh, man. And I have nothing against the Spurs, but it's just like, come on, you know, like, why the West, you know, why the West? And I'll be honest, I am fine, 100% fine with massive change because they always talk about things being stale, right? Like when they overturn the coaching staff, get a new head assistant or assistant head coach. And this is the most stale season I've ever seen. So to change things up, please give it to me, right? Give me something else to talk about besides, oh, they coughed up another lead and oh, they're turning the corner they're almost there. And like, oh, you know, no one's ever beaten them in the Western Conference in the playoffs until now, or they've never not won a road game in a series until now, you know, and no one's ever beaten a healthy Steph, Clay and Draymond, a 100% healthy trio of those dudes in the playoffs. Until now.
Exactly.
So like, to me, it's like, hey, you know, don't necessarily blow it up, but give me some intrigue here. Give me something interesting that I can sink my teeth into. So
it'll be a fun offseason. I think that hopefully some unexpected stuff happens. I mean, I want some fireworks, right? I mean, something interesting.
Yeah. Cause again, when I looked at the roster and I was like, oh my Lord, it's going to be, if they don't make any changes and just add people on the fringes, then it's going to be the exact same stuff.
Yeah.
Into next season, it'll be not that exciting. But cool, man. Well, thanks for coming back on. Appreciate it,
dude.
You all find Randy at Randum, RANDUMPROD on Twitter. He's funny. Follow him. All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino. Or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely appreciated and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time.